The first one is from Proverbs chapter 16, verses 1 through 9. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. When the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. And the next reading is Mark 10, verses 17 through 31. And then 35 through 45. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all of these I have kept since I was a boy. Well, Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Then Peter spoke up, we have left everything to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions. And in this and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. And then verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you ask for me to do? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup and I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great amongst you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. I don't know what to say now. Thank you. You're welcome.
That's the word of God for the people. Thanks be to God. Hey, let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for an opportunity to come to worship in your house, to be with others that believe. We pray that you'd be with us this morning and join with us, open our hearts and our minds so we might have a clear understanding of your will in our lives. And I ask that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be just wonderful and sacred to you. Father, we thank you. Amen. All right. Lots of scripture. When I picked all this out, I had one thing kept coming to mind, and that was the word ambition. It was ambitious. You shouldn't give me an extra week off. But as I looked at it and I studied it, and I think, and it really had, it had spoke to me about our usefulness and the kind of ambition we have in our lives. How do we use it? And it's, I kept getting all these questions in my head. I kept thinking, all right, so does God want us to be ambitious? If we're to be ambitious, what are we supposed to do with that ambition? Or where do we point, what direction do we point it in? And then I got thinking about, okay, so in these scriptures I read, it's like, isn't this all about, weren't these three scriptures all about ambition in our lives? And so if you want me to speak on that, I'm thinking, Lord, so what do you want me to do? He's, you know, how do I make a difference? How do I bring it to people so they have a, so it helps to change their lives, makes their life more purposeful, more successful, so they might better do your will. So I studied it and I prayed on it. Now I looked the word up in the dictionary. And so ambition in the dictionary means, is described as drive or aspirations. So it's meaning it said it was a strong desire to achieve something or typically requiring determination and hard work. How many like to do that? I don't see any hands going up. Oh, boy. So before we begin to look at it, I've got a couple of stories I'd like to share with you. First one is about a fellow who had some real ambition. But his ambition was to fly a glider. So he kind of lived out in the backwoods, and he got his glider. He bought a kit, put his glider all, got it all assembled, and he's out in the backwoods, and he decides he's going to go up on top of the mountain. He gets this thing all the way to the top of the mountain. There's a big field up there and a cliff where he can take off from. He gets this thing on, he's tired, but he said, I'm going to fly. He had real ambition to do this. See, he runs and he jumps in the air and he takes flight. Oh, this was wonderful. Well, Ma and Pa were sitting down there in the rocking chair. Ma looks up and says, Pa, look at that great big bird. And he stands up and says, Ma, go get my shotgun. She runs in, gets the shotgun. He pulls it up. Boom, boom. The bird keeps sailing on. Ma looks up and says, I think you missed. He said, yeah, I did, but at least he let go of old Zeke. I think Zeke was a little surprised at the end of his trip. But at least he had some ambition. He had some purpose. He had some drive, and he wanted to see it through. Then I got to thinking about that, and I remember the story about the duck, you know, the wild duck. He's flying south for the winter. He's tired of flying all the time. And he looks down and he sees a barnyard. Here's all these ducks down there. They're just around this barn. And they're pecking things in the ground. People are actually feeding them. So he flies down and he joins them. Next thing you know, he's in there and he's enjoying himself with the other ducks. He sees all these pool ducks flying south. He says, I like it here. So he starts eating with them. And he spends the winter with them. They get to go in the barn when it's cold. Life's good. We're living high in the hog. Well, he stays here a year. Well, then he's getting fat and he's getting lazy. And the next year, all the wild ones are going by and flying overhead again. And he's watching them go by and he's thinking, wow, I should be going with them. He tries to fly, can't. He's stuck. Why? Do any of us feel like we ever get stuck? We get fat and lazy because we have lost our ambition. And I got to thinking about that, and I got thinking about our scriptures today, and I got looking at them. Too many of us are like the duck. We're giving up our aspirations. Our drive is gone for some reason. Maybe it's because of the world we're living in today, or the economy, or the virus, or all this other stuff that's happening around us. But I got looking at the requests that James and John had. So one day they wanted to get in. They wanted positions of authority. Jesus is talking about his kingdom coming in all the time. And they're saying, well, we should ask him. So they go and ask him. And Jesus looks at them. And he doesn't criticize them. He kind of admires their aspirations. But he's looking at what's driving them to do this. And so he asks him, he says, so can you be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? Can you, in other words, are you willing to suffer the same as I suffer? Are you willing to put up with what I'm going to have to put up with in my lifetime? And to their credit, they said, oh, yeah, we can do that. But they went there because they thought they had an in. It wasn't from any ambition or anything they had done, any hard work that they'd performed. It's because they knew the boss. Their ambition wasn't there. They had the aspirations, but they didn't have the drive. I think that's lacking in our society today. We all want to see things done, but do we have the drive to get them done? Do we have the drive to tell others that they need Christ before it's too late? I guess Al kind of touched on this last week when he was here. But the more I thought about it, and I got thinking about the other story that we read from the Gospels about the rich young man who came to Jesus. He comes to Jesus and he's asking him, says, sir, what must I do to be in glory with you, to have eternal life? What must I do? And so Jesus tells him, you know, what do you got to do? You got to have some ambition. You got to work. You got to obey the laws. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Obey the commands. He quoted him the commands. The man says, all these commands I have kept since I was a lad. But he still wasn't happy. Just because he worked for something so hard for his whole life, had achieved everything, and now he's rich, he's got everything, he's got the luxuries of life. He's almost feeling like the stuck in the barnyard. When it's time to move on, he finds that he's fat and lazy because he's too used to a life of luxury. When Jesus asks this young man, he says, the only thing you need to do now is just go sell everything you have. You'll be assured of being in the kingdom with him. How many of us could do that? Young man, he walked away disappointed. I think about that, and I think about how disappointing that must have been. What he had to do. It's hard to change our lives. There's a few weeks ago, Mom asked me if I'd talk to her son And so when they were leaving, everybody was leaving the church. I agreed to. I said, sure, I'll talk to him, because she was concerned about the direction he was going. And so everybody's headed out the door, and I happened to catch him on his way out, and I said, hey, you got a minute? I said, I'd like to talk to you just for a second before you leave. And he said, sure. So he waited kind of patiently, and he wasn't certain what all was going on, but I could see his old wheels turn in his head, thinking, why does this pastor want to see me? This is not going to be good. So anyway, everybody finally gets out, and we get a minute alone, and I kind of looked at him, and I said, how's things going in your life? You know, where are you headed? You know, what do you want to accomplish in this world? And he looks at me and he says, lunch. I think I asked the wrong question. How many of us are out to lunch? Too many times. That's where our heads are. That's why we don't have any desires to reach others, because we're out to lunch. We get too used to the luxuries of life. And I mean, in our world today, it's gone rampant. Our government, they pay people to sit home more than they ever made in their lives before, and now expect that, well, you're going to want to run back to work, right? Well, no, they're like ducks in a barn. They like this good life. They've never had it so good. People are shut off from society. Well, most people were sick of dealing with society. How many guns to run out into a crowd and deal with the crowds again? I'm not seeing any hands. What are your aspirations? What drives you now? These are questions we really need to ask ourselves. These are questions that, what's your ambition look like? If we desire to know God's will, if we desire to have ambition in our lives, I think we really need to take the time to look at these scriptures once more. Because we're not going to receive it just because we come to church. We're not going to receive the good word and all that God has for us just because we come in these doors every Sunday. Ron's going to shoot me because I'm going to keep hitting the mic. Think about this. Hear these words from Jesus. Jesus said in Mark 10, 25 through 27, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. How many believe that's true? I know I do. The more we have, the harder it is to give it up, isn't it? We're like that rich young ruler. It's really hard to give it up. But not with God. If you truly trust in God, you know that he will provide no matter what. You can't outgive him. Jesus tells us in Mark 10:29-31, he said, I tell you the truth, no one who has left home or brother or sister or mother or father or children or field for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Who'd like to receive 100 times as much in this present age? Come on, be truthful. Be truthful. Who'd like to receive 100 times as much as what you already have in this present age? How many human beings do we have in here? Are there any? I want to receive 100 times as much. Just don't tell Barney. Unfortunately, you still have to keep reading. It says, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, and with them, persecutions. That's where the trouble comes in with ambition. Because if you're ambitious, guess what? It requires hard work, dedication, You got to have a little bit of drive, don't you? You got to have some aspiration, something to work forward to. Well, that's what Jesus was trying to tell the rich young man. That was what Jesus was trying to tell his disciples. You don't get this because you have connections. If you really look at the story, the parallel story about the request of James and John, you'll find out that when Matthew wrote it, he said their mom went and asked for them. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine my mother doing that, but she raised 6 or 7 boys, so have one sit at the front. Well, why did she ask that? Well, chances are, if we look at her name is Salome, and her and Jesus' mother were sisters, supposedly. So they had an in with, they were a relation. Maybe they could get appointed to the good seats because they're cousins. But I think about that, and I think too many times we try to look at the world as if it owes us something. And this world doesn't owe us anything. You know what? Because we're not of this world. Our home isn't here anymore. Once we've accepted Christ as our Savior, our home is in heaven. We're just visiting. And when I thought about it, I think the more I thought about this, I kind of drifted away from my sermon. I got thinking, so what should our ambition be? If we are visitors and we're on this planet visiting and we know that whatever we do, that God's going to bless us, and we'd all like 100 times more than what we already get in blessings. How many of you, when somebody comes and visits you at your house, put them to work? We don't do that, do we? Isn't that how you want to be treated most of the time? Well, somebody has to do it now, don't they? We had a little discussion in Sunday school this morning with Caesar. He says, so what do we do? How do we get other people to come? How do we get other people to know that they need to come to Christ? We have to live by example, don't we? That requires ambition. That means we must aspire to be God's children. We must have some drive in our lives. That means when we leave out of here today, I want to make sure that I talk to somebody today about God, about how we can live without fear. Because we have a world around us that is doing nothing but living in fear. They live in fear of catching a virus. They live in fear that the government's come in and take everything. They live in fear of having the right air to breathe tomorrow, for crying out loud. Think about it. If you believe in Christ and you know in your heart for certain that you're going to be with him and he's going to provide for you 100 times more than you could possibly accomplish in your life, if you believe this, what is there to fear? There is nothing left to fear, is there? There should be no fear in a Christian's life. Why do you think Jesus said we shouldn't worry about things? What is worry? Worry is fear. We can't be worrying. We have to be fearless. We have to have ambition. We have to have drive and aspirations to make sure others know that they can live a life without fear. They can live a life without worry. Because Christ came and died for us so that we might live, so we might see him one day in eternity. I want to read for you the Proverbs of Solomon one more time. Because he knew this long before us. Listen to this. Proverbs 61 through 9. If you have your own Bible with you, I would ask you, open it up and make sure you put a mark in that, because these words of Solomon describe to us what we need to do today, tomorrow, the next day, and it will carry us through life and through this whole tragedy that's going on now. Proverbs 16, verses 1 through 9. To man belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the replies of the tongue. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. The Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for the day of disaster. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. And be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. So when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. For in his heart a man plans his course. But the Lord determines his steps. We all have ambition. But to what end does it really bring us? I think that's the real question. What motivates you? What drives you? Does your need to have ambition need a little bit of refining, a little better focus? I want you to think about it this week. When I first started to write this sermon, it got really long. There was pages and pages and pages. And then I looked up and I remember seeing that plaque I have in my office. It says, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough. This is dangerous. You know, one day I'm going to trip over this. This is not going to be good. Everybody have fun. It's beautiful. It could be ugly. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come to serve you. Help us in our ambition. Help us to have the right aspirations. Help us to have the right drive to know, as Jesus knew, the reason we have come, the ambitions we should be looking forward to is to serving one another and to serving you. For Jesus said that he had come to serve. And that should be our same aspirations, our same drive, our same ambition. Help us today in all that we do. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.